Shalom, Havarim, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Ta-da, my dear. It's good to be back after the long power outage and the internet as well. And we welcome you to our table where we are truly blessed to serve you the meat of God's Word, Hebrews 5:14. For you are the body of Christ and need to grow on His solid food. Now let us give Him great thanks for our salvation.
Thank you, Abba Father, for sending us your Son, the only way to salvation, Yeshua. You are our true Redeemer, our Alpha and Omega, and soon reigning King over all the earth, for your promises are yes and amen. We are grateful for your many signals pointing to your soon return. We pray for our righteous leaders to speak boldly against the evil forces intensifying here in America. Keep us strong so we can resist the tyranny that is raising its fist against your bride to wear us down. And as always, we ask that you keep knocking on the doors of our loved ones' hearts so they too will experience that wonderful peace that passes all understanding. Even in these trying times, we pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen. That was a beautiful prayer. And Acts chapter 5 came to my mind. You know, where Peter and the apostles, when answering the leader, said, "We must obey God rather than men." We need to keep that in mind, for we can often feel it's just easier to stay quiet and just get along. But that can often result in compromising our biblical values. So be careful always with that, because the enemy creeps in unawares. And this November, our vote means a lot in that our Christian conservative values are truly at stake.
Because it's so much more than the socialist economic agenda.
Oh, totally. Mm-hmm. Their morals do not line up with biblical Christianity. Yep. Did you hear that Planned Parenthood has a free abortion bus parked near the DNC this week?
Unbelievable.
Oh, and with free vasectomies and giving out abortion pills. Obviously, there is a Babylonian spirit that has infiltrated our belief system in all areas of society. We must not be complacent. You know, Zephaniah 1:12 says this,
"And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish the men who are settled in complacency."
Complacency can be a sin. And women are accountable too. Let's look at Isaiah 32:9.
"Rise up, you women who are at ease. Hear my voice. You complacent daughters, give ear to my speech."
Bottom line, God has given us a free will. Let us use it wisely and give all your effort to fighting the spiritual war as outlined in Ephesians 6.
And one way is in the voting booth.
Yeah, and you must as well share your knowledge with those who are uneducated in what their socialist agenda really is. Otherwise, you are like the Dead Sea, where good water is flowing in, but there is no exit.
Okay, what's the latest on Israel?
Well, in spite of the war and fulfilling scripture, more Jewish Americans are making plans to leave the United States and other nations, especially France, due to the huge and often lethal rise in anti-Semitism. And Secretary of State Blinken is once again in Israel.
You know, I think that's 9 times this year.
Yep, he's trying to force Netanyahu into Blinken's unrealistic ceasefire at a price too high to pay. And negotiations again, even more so, with other leaders resumes Thursday in Egypt as Iran continues to ponder directly attacking Israel if a ceasefire is not implemented.
You know, Iran would be foolish to do that at this stage.
Which is why they won't.
You're right.
Iran is hoping their threat will get Israel to withdraw from Gaza. But their proxies, Well, they're intensifying, with Hezbollah yesterday swarming Israel's north with at least 55 rockets and UAVs. Of course, Israel keeps responding with some good results and success. And they believe the faulty bomb that prematurely went off on Sunday, killing the suicide bomber, was from Iran, that could have taken out an entire area in Tel Aviv in any crowded space.
It's not for God.
If it was not for God, I agree. And while Israel battles inside their ring of fire, as you know, the Democratic Convention granted permits to anti-Israel protesters, which includes their own stage and a sound system, while refusing pro-Israel protests. So I guess they were protesting anyway, but on the sidelines and a distance away. It's hard to even imagine what America will look like if their cheating is successful, thereby winning the election. But I will say this, that's when our rescue probability rises on the rapture chart for next year.
Which is the good news in all this mayhem.
So again, be sure, memorize your strong points, and then share, share, share.
For your reward will be great.
Yes, he's watching and writing it all down in his book of remembrance. Honey, please read Psalm 56, verse 8.
You have kept count of my wanderings.
He knows when you falter.
Put my tears in your bottle.
He knows when you repent.
Are they not in your book?
The book of remembrance, spoken of by Malachi in chapter 3, verse 16.
Amen. All right, any updates on the Ukrainian war?
Well, last week the Ukrainians received a morale boost by taking Russia by surprise at its border and bombed two connecting bridges.
An embarrassing blow to Putin.
Especially since he felt they were making gains, no matter how incremental. So Russia had to divert resources away from the Ukrainian battlefield, which going forward could stymie the goals of its offensive. Zelensky now has more leverage in negotiations to regain Ukrainian territory, as will the hundreds of Russian troops Ukraine says it's captured, which will help in future prisoner exchanges.
This certainly showcases Ukraine's resolve.
I'll say. However, Zelensky always said they were in for the long haul. But don't write off Russia just yet. After all, Ezekiel 38 says the country to the far north of Israel will be a strong force in that war of Magog. And most feel that has to be Russia, who have already allied with Persia, now called Iran. And all prophecy will be fulfilled. And God is the victor, as all Israel will then recognize their Messiah. And you can read that in Ezekiel 38:23 and Ezekiel 39:22, where it says, from that day forward, they will recognize their Messiah.
We welcome your comments and end-time questions either by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please consider a love offering, which is received with much gratitude. Any correspondence will automatically add you to our monthly newsletter list. You can also bless us with your gift of love on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will also find our past radio and teaching letters archived for your learning pleasure, along with our August one, also on our webpage.
That it is, and it contains the notes for this program. So tonight, you can just relax and take it all in, because we will soon enter, on September 4th, the 12th and last month of their year called Elul on the Hebrew civil calendar, or the sixth month on their current religious calendar. Elul begins the yearly season of Teshuvah. Now, some of you that are newer believers to the concept of our Hebraic roots, you might be thinking, well, why do we as Christians need to know this?
Or why are Hebrew roots at all?
Many do say that. So how would you answer? Well, first and foremost is because Jesus was Jewish. Therefore, he is our Christian roots.
Romans 11 says, we've been grafted in among them.
You know, when I was a child attending St. Aloysius Catholic School in Cleveland, our faith was called Judeo-Christianity. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the way, Judea was dropped. Anyhow, after I became born again and led by the Holy Spirit, I began searching to learn more about my first century Jewish Jesus. And I say first century, because later on, especially during the Dark Ages, changes were made to Orthodox Judaism, and some valuable teachings were being ignored, while adding man-made traditions that Jesus never did.
As in wearing the yarmulke.
Right, or breaking the glass at a wedding, and other things that was added much later. So should you want to do more detailed study, you should stick to the first century. There is a four-volume book series that I often talk about and learned a lot from called Judaism in the First Century by George Foot Moore. But as your foundation, start with the appointments of the Lord outlined in Leviticus 23 that we go over every year, and then add the idiomatic expressions of their day,
which we also cover.
Those are the two most important areas to enhance your study of eschatology. Honestly, you will not correctly understand end-time prophecy without this knowledge. It's just a fact. In fact, Messianic Jewish-born teachers of today still have to, or certainly should, study their first-century roots because their father or grandfather didn't, and instead handed down teachings that came much later after Jesus. And as we said, were reformed, especially during the Middle Ages, because many of their ancient books were burned.
Thank God. Some books were spared.
And some were hidden until now, found later in our lifetime.
In the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Yep, to include the writings of Enoch and most all of the early patriarchs whose writings Noah carried on the ark and lived long enough to hand personally to Abraham, that we are so grateful were found certainly by divine inspiration.
Without question.
It's so very obvious that God intended for his last generation to find. So, just an FYI, I started teaching on our Judeo-Christian roots back in the 90s. And let me tell you, as a Gentile and a woman, I was pretty alone back then.
Yeah, Hebraic roots was seldom taught.
Right. But now, finally, some other Christian teachers are sharing what I call basic Christianity 101 truths. But I must also say, don't allow it to become overwhelming. Keep your journey simple so you can enjoy the ride.
And be sure to check out our webpage.
Right, because between all the teaching letters and archived radio programs, you can glean just about everything of what any Bible student as a basis needs to know, if eschatology is your major. And we can't stress enough how of God's seven appointments that he intentionally made, actually even with the world, are very important for proper hermeneutics and giving us a solid connection to his gospel. Jesus kept his first appointments and very soon will fulfill his final three fall appointments as well.
Of course. Why wouldn't he?
Exactly. But sadly, the main reason we are hearing different versions of eschatology is because many are lacking in the basic understanding of our first century Christian Hebrew roots,
thereby often misinterpreting important pieces of information.
Yes, especially in idiomatic terms and phrases used in Scripture. Let me say it again. If you have accepted the Jewish Messiah into your heart, you have been adopted into his family, making us as well the heirs of his promises.
Proving the appointments are meant for us too, not just the Jews.
Exactly. And to get specific, therefore the unsaved as well. For if we shared these truths with them, many more would get saved.
And we know that's a fact.
We do. So use them for a witnessing tool, and at least they could be a tribulation saint.
Amen to that.
Oh, and this is important. Always be sure to stay balanced. Never, ever, ever get legalistic. Because the reason for the law was to be a tutor to better realize their need for a Savior, thereby longing for their Messiah who would come to fulfill the law.
Yeah, read Galatians, especially chapter 3.
Amen. With all that said, know this. Because of Jesus, nothing has to be done on our part, only to learn why, thereby increasing your knowledge of him, to see more clearly the entire plan of God and of who he is, which then, of course, brings you into a very rewarding, much closer relationship, which should be all our goals.
Unfortunately, many are too sluggish to learn.
As was prophesied would be the case of the end-time church, as in Laodicea, Revelation 3.
Okay, back to Teshuvah.
Yes. So, what knowledge should we glean from this current season? Well, the word means to return, or better yet, to repent, for not being as close to the Lord as one should. Now, tell me the church wouldn't benefit from adhering to this season, if only as a reminder. So, on the Hebrew 360-day lunar calendar, Teshuvah always begins on Elul 1, which on our Gregorian solar calendar this year, 2024, will begin on September 3rd at sundown and continues for 40 days to Yom Kippur.
The Day of Atonement.
Yes. The Jewish people observe the first 30 days of Teshuvah differently than the last 10 days of Teshuvah, where the first 30 days, the shofar is sounded daily, along with special pre-dawn prayers for forgiveness. And on the 30th day, also called the last trump, 100 blasts are blown. Then at the sound of the last trump blown, ushers in the new year, called the Feast of Trumpets.
Or Rosh Hashanah.
Meaning the head of the year. This grand feast is celebrated for 2 days and was believed during Jesus' day and still today by the more religious Jews that some year the resurrection would occur on one of these 2 days. And no one knows which day or hour, which is another common phrase used for this Feast of Trumpets. And of course, we'll cover all this again next month.
But Rosh Hashanah, you know, that's the birthday of the world.
More specifically, the birthday or creation of Adam,
which began the civil calendar on Tishrei 1.
What's really cool is that Paul actually wrote it down for us, that some year, the rapture slash resurrection will happen at the last trump, which, as we said, is an idiom used for Rosh Hashanah, when the last trumpet is blown.
1 Corinthians 15:51.
So we went all over that to bring you to the question. Don't you think the month before this possible event just might call for some introspection, maybe?
Well, they certainly did.
And the Orthodox still do today. Now, of course, as born-again Christians, all our sins are covered by the blood. But thinking that maybe the resurrection might happen in some fall season might get you a little excited this month before, especially since James 5 establishes that as well.
Right, when the harvests come in.
And there are a few examples of God actually chastising his people more during the season called Teshuvah.
As a warning to turn more towards him.
For instance, we know that God commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh to seek their repentance during Teshuvah, giving them the 40 days to repent. And also Teshuvah corresponds to the 40 days that Moses spent on Mount Sinai, repenting to God for Israel's golden calf incident, then returning on the Day of Atonement.
Called Yom Kippur, with the new set of tablets.
Also in Daniel's account of Babylon's handwriting on the wall, according to history, yep, happened during Teshuvah. And by connecting the dots, we can see that when Jesus was baptized, John the Baptist was proclaiming for all the people to repent.
As that was the first day of Teshuvah.
Yeah, for Jesus then went into the wilderness for 40 days to pray repentance for the people and to prepare for his ministry that would begin on his 30th birthday, just 5 days after Yom Kippur, on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles.
It was Jewish law that a man could not enter his ministry until he was 30 years old.
And he scrupulously adhered to it, so we would benefit by the knowledge of our Jewish roots. Never lose sight that all this was purposely prearranged and set up by God. He is very exact and precise in everything he has set forth to happen for our learning. As Paul said in Romans 15:4.
Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope.
Well, you know, the Greek word for hope is elpis, number 1680, and it actually means confidence. Another example is Haggai 1, verse 1, where he right away makes sure the reader knows it was on the first day of the sixth month on their religious calendar that they were told to use from their Exodus in Exodus 12.
Which is Elul 1, the first day of Teshuvah.
Mm-hmm. And on your own, please read the first chapter of Haggai, and you'll see that they truly needed to turn more toward God, for they knew of him, but were not moving toward him. And we've got just a few more minutes, but think about all that on a personal basis. Do you know him, but are comfortable staying where you are and not growing closer to him? Have you heard the statement, well, if you're not going forward, it's the same as going backward? I cannot say this enough. Nothing in his word is there by accident. He purposely tells us what season it is for a reason. And most just read right over it because, sadly, many tend to shy away from his Jewishness, not really caring to learn some simple, basic tenets of our faith. And don't tell me our Hebraic roots is not in the New Testament, when in fact the entire writing of John's Gospel is surrounded by all the feasts.
Yeah, the New Testament was mostly penned by Jews.
That's true. And we're going to continue on this next week. But until then, we really do need to repent also for the sin of omission, as in not spending enough time with him in his word. Teshuvah is a good time to really look inward. Unless, of course, you can say, oh, no need. My life and my home are completely in order. And my relationship are exactly as God would have them. Really? Who can say that? I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, that's Jerusalem, you're going to prosper. Till next time, Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.